All right, let's start with Homeland Security. What is it going to do differently now under this new executive order?
Well, DHS obviously is going to have a much bigger and expanded role, but in many ways, it's in addition to what they have been doing as well, has been doing already, as opposed to just brand new stuff. Bruce McConnell is a cybersecurity counselor for the National Protection and Programs Directorate at DHS, which leads a lot of their cyber efforts. He says most of the tasks in the order are extensions of existing work that DHS is already doing, or maybe some new twists or new focus areas.
One of the key tasks that has to be done that is in a heavy lift, difficult standpoint, is the identification of critical infrastructure. So Section 9 of the order says identify those critical infrastructure entities who own systems and assets which, if they were disrupted by cyber attack or incident, would create a catastrophic effect. So we have a list of systems and assets today that we've done for other purposes but have not really focused on the cyber piece of it. So that's a starting point, but we really have to start out by talking with the sectors and ask them what do they think their most critical systems and assets. And it really gets to the point of what are the essential services that the American people need to continue to have delivered.
Now, I caught up with McConnell yesterday at the Commerce Department after the cybersecurity rollout, where they had a host of senior officials come and talk about the impact of the executive order. Now, McConnell says DHS will create a task force to handle many of the new and expanded tasks. He said there's a lot of deadlines in the next 6 to 8 months, and DHS is already hitting the ground running. Among the requirements for DHS in the executive order are to develop a description of the relationships in the federal government with the critical infrastructure security and resilience. They have to do that in about 120 days. In about 150 days, DHS will have to complete an assessment of the public-private partnership model and recommend ways to improve it. And in about 240 days, they have to do two major things: develop a situational awareness capability for the critical infrastructure owners and operators, and update the National Infrastructure Protection Plan. Now, one area where DHS has already begun to work is around the expansion of the Cyber Information Sharing Program. This used to be called the Defense Industrial Base Pilot, or DIB program. Now it's being called the Enhanced Cyber Services. The goal is to share classified and unclassified cyber threat information with the private sector. Jane Hole-Lute is the Deputy Secretary at DHS. She says the cybersecurity framework NIST will develop is an important piece to the expansion in terms of participation in the Cyber Threat Information Sharing Program.
These baseline security improvements will better position many firms to participate in the information sharing programs. For example, we've already begun with the Department of Energy a dialogue with the electricity sector, and we look forward to continuing this effort. Similarly, we've been working with the Department of Treasury and the financial sector, and we will continue to work with all of the sector-specific agencies and the sector coordinating councils that represent industry to develop programs to assist companies with implementing the framework and identify incentives for its adoption.
McConnell says the information sharing program is now open to all companies, and DHS will help speed up security clearance process for people in those companies who would receive the information from the government.
Okay, so that's DHS, but NIST also is going to have some more responsibility. So how is it going to bring industry together?
So NIST will take its usual role of acting as that convener. They've done this around the smart grid, of Homeland Security Presidential Directive 12, and several other technology-related areas that need industry-accepted and supported standards. Patrick Gallagher is the director of NIST. He says NIST will continue to use a collaborative approach and pull together the best practices from across the community to create this voluntary cybersecurity framework.
The whole idea here is to basically empower industry to be responsive. So you got to put the performance goal out here. Basically, the ball goes entirely into industry's court. And the extent to which they can provide a very robust framework will provide, I think, the best answer, because it could minimize the need for additional regulatory action or other sort of unilateral action. It can enhance the fact that this is being done as broadly as possible, so the markets are wide open. And so I think, in some ways, this is the most empowering way I could envision sort of stepping out on this issue.
So one of the first things NIST will do to pull together those best practices, both internal to the government and industry, is host a series of workshops. The first one is scheduled for early April, and the goal here is to gather input and have a discussion with industry. Now, recently, NIST and the Homeland Security Department signed a memorandum of agreement to create the framework to ensure the efforts of the agencies are aligned.
And I would expect that this framework will be a layered approach. It will include both broad principles and methods, identify common practices and tools, and as well as identify specific, in some cases sector-specific, practices and tools as well. The NIST role is to support your effort to convene and support a multi-stakeholder process that will allow us to produce the most effective framework that we can.
Now, Gallagher says by encouraging industry to lead this effort, he hopes the framework, one, will be used, obviously, and two, will be a living document that gets updated as needed. He says the EO also includes approaches to incentivize adoption. NIST, GSA, the Treasury Department, and others are developing a report on how best to get industry to adopt this framework through incentives. That report is due in the next 120 days.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So, what has the reaction been so far? I guess first from industry and also on that other senior partner in all of this, Capitol Hill.
Yeah, the reaction definitely has been mixed. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is unhappy with the executive order because it mentions possible changes to regulations. Now, under the EO, part of what DHS and their sector-specific agencies will do, such as Energy and Treasury, they'll review existing regulations and decide if those regulations need to be updated. So that could mean new regulations in the Chamber of Commerce. That's one of their big sticking points with the White House's effort to pass comprehensive cybersecurity, is they believe that no new regulations is needed, at least not in the way the government has been talking about it. But many other organizations, such as Tech America or the Professional Services Council, were very supportive of the EO, but still say, hey, legislation is still ultimately needed. And even lawmakers, for the most part, too, have been supportive, such as Tom Carper, the senator from Delaware, and also the chairman of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. He says, again, order is a good step, but Congress needs to pass a bill to address those areas such as liability protection for companies. Now, Michael Daniels, the White House cybersecurity coordinator, he says the EO is not a substitute for legislation. It's a down payment, and he also will continue the ongoing conversations.
I expect that these conversations will actually continue as we go to the hard work of actually implementing this executive order. So the bottom line is that we will need your help in making this EO work. Cybersecurity must be a shared collective endeavor. I'm asking everybody in the audience today, help us make the information sharing processes we're setting up work and useful. Help us make the frameworks effective, useful, and actually reflect the needs and concerns of industry. And then help us put these frameworks into place.
Now, Daniel says, obviously, the real work begins now. The EO took about 7 months to come together. Implementation will take more than a year. And as you heard him say, require that whole-of-government approach. Now, Senator Carper is already calling for a hearing on the EO, and other legislative activity around cyber also is ramping up. Yesterday, for instance, there was the introduction of the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, or CISPA, by Congressman Mike Rogers and Dutch Ruppersberger. Other bills also, including a update to the Federal Information Security Management Act, are expected to be introduced in the coming weeks as well.
And Jason, I wanted to ask you your impression of what's behind the scenes here, because my impression is that a lot of these industry associations in electrical, for example, already have standards. They already voluntarily follow them, and many of them already share information with Homeland Security. Does this EO really extend things beyond what might be done now that people aren't widely aware of?
Well, I think there's two things going on, and I think your observation is right on par. There's a miscommunication going on between what's happening in the industry itself, whether it's energy or telecommunications or financial services, and what the government's perspective is. You have some people who will tell you, hey, this industry is not doing enough. They're getting attacked all the time. They're in big trouble. But you have industry saying, well, why wouldn't we want to do cyber? It's in our economic benefit. It's in our business benefit to protect our networks, protect our ability to transmit power or provide financial services. If those things go down, our business model sinks. So where is the miscommunication happening for this need that there's this big hole and no, we're fixing the hole? I believe there's somewhere, obviously, in the middle. I think that what the EO does is a couple things. It signals that the White House is looking for that voluntary approach. They're not trying to come down hard and pound the hammer on these companies. At the same time, they're saying, listen, we understand that there's some legal issues that we can't overcome, but we're going to open ourselves up and say, here's the information we get. We're going to try to make that process of sharing information easier, and we're going to try to do it with more people. And I think that's the biggest area of that's going to be benefit. Finally, the other piece is that cybersecurity framework. There's been tests, if you will, of this idea. The NIST and Energy Department have worked with the energy sector and to develop a maturity model. That maturity model has gotten a lot of acceptance and use so far, and I think they're seeing benefits from it as well. So I think that they, you know, part of what this administration did was test some of these concepts out that are now in the executive order and saw that there are benefits, that there are value to industry.